Our Bible passage today is taken from Psalm 23. I read from verses 1 to the end. Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, good. We made it. Great. Well, thank you for a very warm welcome. It's great to join you again and be here this morning. So I've got a question for us to think about this morning. And the question is this. What do you fear? What are you afraid of? What do you fear? Might be an easy question for some of us, I don't know. Might be need a bit more thinking for others. Well, and I've brought a few pictures with me today of some of the things that I'm afraid of. And in a little while, we might have a look at those on the screen. But what do we fear? Do you know, I think this is a great question for us to ask ourselves, because I think this shows us deep down in our hearts what we're trusting in. What are we trusting in? And this really is what the passage, or the verse actually, that we're going to look at today is really all about. Because David, who wrote this psalm, Psalm 23, has learnt something about his good shepherd, his Lord and his God. So yes, we read all of Psalm 23, but we're really just going to focus on just on verse 4 today and have a think about that. And why don't I pray for us again before we just get into this verse? Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for the wonderful things you've given us in your word, the Bible. We pray you would encourage our hearts with them this morning. We pray your spirit would be with us and would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me read verse 4 for us again today. We'll just be looking at that verse. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we're told at the top of this psalm, it's a psalm written or sung by David. We may know that David, probably in his younger days, was a shepherd, looked after his father's sheep, spent a lot of time out in the country watching over them. And as he begins this psalm, he thinks of himself as a sheep and the Lord as his shepherd. The Lord provides for him. We're not focusing on it today, but in verse 1 to 3, we see there the Lord leads him. The Lord restores him. And then in verse 4, David gives us this picture of a dark valley, doesn't he? Do you know, it doesn't sound to me much like a place that a sheep would like to wander. Does it? It sounds more like the kind of place a predator might be lurking. Maybe a wolf or a lion, something like that. But David sees these as a picture of his life. When he lies down in green pastures, well, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? When he's beside still waters, great. But what about when life gets hard? What about in the dark valleys of life where death casts its shadow? Now, I said I brought a couple of pictures today of things that I'm afraid of. Perhaps we can have the first one on the screen now. Thank you. Here it comes. Oh, sorry, the next one. I'm not afraid of sheep. Here we go. Okay. What's that? Hillstar, that's one way to look at it, isn't it? Yeah, that's a road sign, isn't it? Of a very steep hill. And I look at that, wow, if I think of cycling and then come across a sign like that, I think I want to turn around and speed off in the other direction. But do you know, I could hardly believe this. Do you know, this particular sign is an actual sign somewhere in England. I wonder if anybody can take a guess, or you may know. Where in England, which area of England can you find this sign? I think it's the steepest one in our country. Any guesses? I'm sorry?
Devon.
Devon. Oh, yeah, good guess. But no, it's not actually. Somewhere further north, quite a long way further north. Yes.
Norway.
Norway. Wow. They probably have a few this steep. Yeah. You're probably right. But how about in England? Anywhere else? I think Cumbria. No, not Cumbria. I think I heard Mike and the family are on the way there today. What, you want to guess again? Yes, that's right. The Lake District. There's a, it's called Hard Knot Pass, I understand, as a place. This steep. And wow, if I came across that on my bike, I'd be terrified. I don't think I'd be giving it a go. But you know, I think this is a little bit like life. Life isn't just an easy ride, is it? I think the longer we live, perhaps the more we know that. And as God's people even, life, it's not easy. It takes us through dark valleys. It takes us through difficult climbs. And one thing or another can make us start to worry, feel anxious. And we wonder, how on earth are we going to get through that? That's exactly what David's talking about here. Perhaps it could be when our health seems to be failing us, or perhaps the health of a loved one, somebody close to us. Maybe when a precious friendship breaks down. Maybe when our exam results were not what we hoped they would be. We look to the future and we just can't see how we're going to get through another year, perhaps. And this shepherd, well, they may do a great job when everything's bright and sunny. But in the hard times, what about in those dark valleys? How is our shepherd then? Well, let's have a look at the answer that David leads us to, because I think this is quite surprising. I don't think the next bit of the psalm sounds very sheep-like, really. Have a look at the verse again. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Doesn't sound like any sheep I've ever seen. Well, when he says evil here, he's talking about being in danger, under the threat of harm or trouble. He's not worried about being hurt. How does David manage to say, I will fear no evil? Well, he's not hiding his answer at all, is he? And I think this next line is really the heart of this verse. What does he say? I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. For you are with me. This psalm, it's not about David being a superhero sheep, is it? Not at all. It's about his super shepherd. That's what it's all about. That's what makes the difference for him. Perhaps we could have the next slide. Thank you. Oh, there we go. David, he's absolutely sure the Lord, his perfect shepherd, is with us. Now, I wonder if you could just take a closer look at that verse once again, and especially that part, because, do you know, something has just changed in this psalm. I wonder if we can spot what it was. Take a look. There is a three-letter word there that has just appeared for the first time. Take a look, or perhaps with a person sitting next to you. Can you spot what has just changed? There's another word that's been used in the lines before, and now in this line, there's one word that's just appeared. Anyone have a guess or shout it out? Yes. You. Thank you. Well spotted. Excellent. You. Do you know, it's interesting here, isn't it? David, at this point, he turns to his shepherd. He says, you are with me. Not he is with me. You are with me. I think that's a really artful touch in writing this psalm. And he sings of the time when he's completely alone in this valley. He's no longer singing to others around him like in the previous verses. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. No, he turns to the one, the only one that he can count on to always be with him. For you are with me. Do you know, I wonder, when times get hard, when you feel alone, when you've run into trouble, who do you turn to? Who do you look to in those times? We find ourselves trusting in all kinds of things, don't we? I certainly find that. And often, even if we're God's people, we make this mistake. We start trusting other things. Often, I find myself living as if there's something else that I can't live without. Well, that's something else I'm afraid of. So maybe we can have the next slide up. What's this one? What's this one? Somebody shout it out.
Low battery,
thank you. No more battery, excellent. Isn't that terrifying? Perhaps. Okay, perhaps a little bit silly that one, I don't know. But do you know, I think often that's what my life looks like. I don't feel secure unless I have my phone with me and it has a battery. As if the thing that I need most is my internet access. When life takes me through dark valleys, what is it that makes me feel secure? When something goes wrong in life, when I'm struggling with something, where do I turn? Do I need some reassurance from my Instagram or TikTok? Possibly. But if that's the case, do you know, it's no surprise I'm feeling afraid. Oh, what do you turn to? Do you know, that is a great answer. Yeah. And I think you got them in the right order as well. Fantastic. God, or your parents, wonderful. Good answer. We put all kinds of things in our lives to make ourselves feel secure, don't we? It can be gadgets, but it can be other things. Maybe it's our abilities sometimes. Maybe it's the things we've achieved make us feel successful. Maybe it's how well we've done at school. Maybe it's all about what others think of us, our friends. Maybe for some of us older ones, it could be our jobs that make us feel secure. Maybe our finances even, our insurance plans. Maybe for some, it's our family around us. We find our security in that. But in all these things, and some of those, they're good things, aren't they? Good things given by God. But in all these things, they can be here today, and they can be gone tomorrow. We can thank God for many of those things, but perhaps also we should ask him to help us to value them wisely. Ask him perhaps to help us not to value them more than we should. Because isn't there one who is infinitely greater, who is really the only one we really need to have with us? He is our perfect shepherd. Can we let him be the one that we trust? I will not fear, for you are with me. If we could have the next slide, thank you. So where do you turn when you find yourself in one of life's dark valleys? If you're one of God's people here this morning, can we encourage one another? And like David, we make the Lord the first one we turn to. So we can say to him those words as well. Lord, I thank you. I need not fear, for you are with me. Well, what difference does it make then to have our shepherd there with us? Let's take a look again at the second part of that verse. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, David, he was a shepherd, wasn't he? At least for the early years of his life. I'm sure he knew very well what a blessing it was for his sheep to have a shepherd close to them. I'm sure he would have remembered the times he had to use a rod and staff himself in caring for his father's flock. And the picture I think he's giving us here is a rod that a shepherd may use to fight away a wild animal, keeping threatening predators at bay. and the staff we may be more familiar with, perhaps used to guide the sheep, keep them from straying off the path. Or maybe if one has stumbled down somewhere, he's able to use that staff to lift the sheep out to safety. These things, they give us a picture of the comfort that the sheep can have in the protection and the care of having a good shepherd. And that's the difference it makes for a sheep to have a shepherd who loves them, who cares for them. David had found that is exactly what he had in the Lord his God. He was an all-powerful God, but one who also knew him personally, who loved him and cared for him. He was at the same time great and majestic, and yet had that great love for just one of his children. I suppose the other way to think about it is, that's what we miss out on, isn't it? If we've chosen to live life without that good shepherd. Okay, I've got another picture here of something else that I'm afraid of. It might take a little closer look, this one, if we could have it up. Thank you. Have a closer look at that. What is it that I'm afraid of? It's a bit harder to spot this time. Do you want to have a go? Ah, okay. A sharp turn up ahead. Yeah, not a bad guess. Anything else? There's actually something else I'm thinking of here. An animal running across can be a little bit scary, but not what I'm thinking of. Somebody else? Was there a hand? Sorry? Being lost can be something fearful, can't it? Where is this picture taken from exactly? What position is it taken from? It's another guess over here somewhere. The passenger seat. Exactly. I'm afraid of the passenger seat. Isn't that scary? No, not for everybody, perhaps. I should quickly say, my wife is an excellent driver. Okay, entirely metaphorical, this one, honestly. Alicia's not here to see that today. Anybody else afraid of the passenger seat? You don't have to put your hand up. You might get in trouble. Now, do you know, I had to explain to my kids that, you know, when I was young, I really looked forward to being old enough to sit in this seat. So they didn't quite follow me on this one. But do you know, it's true, isn't it? For some of us, especially as we grow up and we've been drivers, we don't like the passenger seat. We might make a terrible passenger. Maybe sometimes that's true of me. We find it hard sometimes if we're not in the driving seat. Is that true? For some of us, I think it might be. We want to be in control, don't we? We like to have everything planned out. We want to see that we have our futures prepared for. And if I don't have that, I start to become anxious. This valley, this dark valley, can feel like that for some of us. When that's where we find ourselves, who's going to be in charge of our lives? Is it going to be me? Because I know what's best? Or can I step away from the driving seat and instead trust my life to a perfect shepherd? To say, Lord, I put you in charge. I'm going to live your way. We might find that a challenge, but it makes a huge difference. It's what David's telling us here in the psalm. Because if I'm in charge to get through life's uncertainties, well, I've probably got good reason to be worried. And there can be many uncertainties that we're facing, even today. We're going to be looking at another month of bills and how we're going to pay those. Maybe what school we're going to go to next year, I don't know. Maybe what results I'm going to hear on my next visit to my doctor. Are we clinging to control of our life and carrying these anxieties round on ourselves? Or instead, are we prepared to rest on the comfort that our shepherd promises us? Will we let him take that driving seat? Now, do you know, if we're honest, I think life gives us plenty of examples of how limited we are as human beings. Just like David, it's shown so clear to us, we're not super sheep, are we? No, but we have a super shepherd. Do you know, I remember having this shown so clearly to me. It was about 6 or 7 years ago when my son was born. He was 7 weeks early, And well, clearly couldn't wait to be out and about in the world. But when he was born and we saw and held this tiny, fragile baby, and he was so helpless and so dependent on us. And there we were all ready to be there for him and take care of him. But he had barely arrived when the doctor came in and whisked him away. Had to get him hooked up to all kinds of instruments. And he was there, they had to keep him for about 10 days in the end. We could only go in once a day for a very short visit to see him. It was so hard. And then just finally, after those 10 days, we could take him home. How limited we are. Now, of course, in that case, we are very thankful for those doctors. It was so much better for our little son to be in their hands rather than with us. But consider this, how much greater still for us to be in the loving hands of an infinitely powerful Heavenly Father, a God who spoke our world into existence, and yet he also knows everything about you. A God, he hasn't just made the claim that he'll be there for his people. He's put it beyond any doubt. Because he wasn't satisfied, was he, just to leave us with our messed up lives in this messed up world that we see around us. He wasn't satisfied to leave us cut off from his perfect holiness and face death without him. No, he carried out that wonderful plan of his to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and lived on this earth in history, didn't he? He walked the very darkest depths of that valley himself. He knew what that felt like. And he went to face an awful death on the cross. What happened there? And God poured out on him the judgment for all the wrong that we've done as Jesus died that death that we deserved. What did Jesus himself say about that in John chapter 10? Don't need to turn to it. Let me just read John chapter 10, verse 11. And Jesus said there, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He did that for you. He did that for me. And yet greater still, God showed that death had no hold on the Lord Jesus, didn't he? As he raised him back to life and he placed him on his throne to rule over all. Isn't that wonderful then that as we read Psalm 23, this is the Lord who is with us. He is the one who's with us through this darkest valley. He's the conqueror of death himself. If we're his people, what do we have left to fear? Well, I've got one picture left that I've brought with me today. So if we could have that one up, or the next one, thank you. There we go. Is that scary? What's that? A timer, did somebody say? Yes, an alarm clock, yeah, could be. But yeah, last few seconds on a timer, time running out. In my family know I'm afraid of this, especially on 8:30 in the morning on a school day, when we're not quite ready to leave for school, and Daddy starts getting anxious. 5 minutes left in your exam, maybe? Start feeling afraid? Don't know. Another one for me, perhaps, is realizing I can't play football too much longer. Time running out. Maybe something to do with me not cycling up many hills. I don't know. Time running out can be scary. And, you know, for some people, perhaps those who have not humbled themselves before God, who have not given their lives to him, this can be a great fear. Because all the things that we pour our lives into, in the end, the clock runs down, doesn't it? Time runs out. And at some point, we'll find ourselves walking into a valley where death isn't just a shadow. Our time on this earth will be over. We'll stand before God. Now, friends, I hope you've noticed that I've not shared these fears with you to make us afraid. But rather, as David does in this wonderful psalm, he takes us into this darkest valley only to point us to his wonderful shepherd and how great he is. Because in all these things, we need not fear. If we're the Lord's people today, whatever our fears, and however great they seem when we're facing them, actually they're nothing. They're nothing in comparison to the greatness of our God. If we belong to the Lord, even when our time is running down, even facing death itself, we can say these words. We can say them with the Lord Jesus. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So when you find yourselves in those dark valleys, I don't know, maybe some of you find yourself there today. Will you trust him? He's the good shepherd. He loves you. He died for you. And he can see you through it. Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for our wonderful Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that great love that you showed us when he died in our place. We ask you'd help us never to forget that you are always with your children. So we need not fear, but can rest in your love and your comfort. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.